Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
The Attitude Era really has returned because we've got some heel authority figures beating up maybe
another heel authority. Was he a baby face?
I think he was a baby. He was giving the thumbs up, wasn't he, to everyone? God. He was leading applause and stuff. He did the noble thing of shaking Jack Perry's hand. And what smiling. A baby face.
I'm Ollie Davis. I'm joined by Luke Owen, DAD. Welcome to the AEW Dynamite review episode of the Wrestle Talk podcast in what was a shocking end to the episode. If you haven't already, please press the thumbs up button. Give us a subscribe. Leave a comment down below with what you thought of this angle and sending your Omega chants to wrestletalk.com/support. And also check out our wonderful sponsor of this episode, Wrestling Masterclass. Go over to WrestlingMasterclass.com to start to learn how to enter this great wrestling industry of ours.
Absolutely. Click the link in the video description down below, or the one that's being spammed by our wonderful moderating team, and get yourself onto the Wrestling Masterclass today.
We'll have more on that in a bit. But first, our main talking point. Tony Khan attacked by the Elite.
So you are famously a fan of show through storylines. Mm-hmm. This episode started with the Elite of the Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, and Kazuchika Okada arriving in one big car, and then another car arrived, and it was Jack Perry. And security tried to stop Jack Perry coming in, and Matthew and Nicholas were like, no, he's with us. It's okay. Hands off the merchandise. We're allowing him in. Later on in the episode, we had them walking up to Tony Khan's office. That's actually during the first match. They cut backstage in like a picture-in-picture thing to show the Elite trying to go into Tony's office. And then later on in the episode, Alex Marvez was trying to get the scoop.
It was a bit much, I thought.
Well, he was desperate for a scoop. He's trying to keep his job here.
They walked out of the office and he's just like, I need the scoop. Come on, give me the scoop. Give me the scoop.
Okada, surely you've got the scoop for me. And Okada walked past him. Nicholas, surely you. You must have the scoop on me, right? And Nicholas walked past him. Matthew was his last chance. And so he begged Matthew for the scoop. And Matthew said, Tony Khan has said that he will address Jack Perry later on tonight in the ring. So we had like beat, beat, beat to set you up for a big main event angle.
And in those 2 to 3 little backstage segmenty bits and cold opens, I think I had a Jack Perry smile count of 3.
All right, Jack Perry is a guy that has realized that what people really liked about his Dynasty return at the weekend was a little smile to camera. Yeah. So he's like, there's my character.
Like any indie wrestler from California, they figured out the spot and they're going to spam it to death. He's having a smile party.
He knows what he's doing. He'll do it in matches coming soon.
And then this paid off in the main event. Jack Perry comes down alone, not with the rest of the Elite. Gets the microphone and the crowd start chanting, oh, cry me a river. And he's just soaking up the heat
In a good way, like there were no CM Punk chants.
There were some. There was a light bit of CM Punk chanting. It was when it was him and Tony in the ring at the same time. There was a light pocket of CM Punk chants, but they were shut down very, very quickly.
Which is good. And this is, you know, this is home turf for AEW, which I really like. It was at Daly's Place, Jacksonville, where they spent all those pandemic shows. Mm-hmm. So it really felt like a proper punch to the heart,
yeah,
considering what happened.
And
next,
a lot of the show was kind of built around that. Like, I would say from like top to bottom was sort of built around that, because you had the Best Friends, like, you know, they were the opening of the show, an integral part to the early days of that. And they even announced a parking lot brawl, which was the big five-star match of that pandemic era. Willow's promo was all about how she was in the extras in 2020, and even Mox and Hobbs, like, that was a partnership of the pandemic era. like, that was Hobbs's, and like, there was the commentary where they're making references. It was like, these two were actually friends. They were tag partners at one time until Hobbs turned his back on Mox. So it was a lot of Anna Jay being you know, in a match. So it was a lot of this sort of homecoming atmosphere. So Jack doing a homecoming promo kind of was like with a little cherry on top of what had already felt like a sort of a homecoming episode.
Because Perry hadn't been around in AEW before Dynasty for about 8 months.
8 months.
This was after the brawl out thing.
Well, that's because Tony Khan was furious with him that he cost him CM Punk, I believe.
I feel like I've been worked by those reports.
100%.
Because this is what happened has clearly been the plan. Going back to Jack Perry tearing up that contract.
Of course it has.
But we said it was obviously signed off.
We've been saying that on this show that he's still working for AEW.
Yes, and I will hold up, but I want to hold up my hands and say, I didn't think it was to this extent.
That he was going to attack Tony Khan. No, I didn't think that extent, no.
I didn't even think, like, when he tore up the contract, I thought, okay, Khan maybe doesn't want him around, so this is just a way for him to do something else in New Japan for a bit while those ill feelings calm down.
I thought a similar thing.
I didn't think, that was actually, they were all in cahoots working together, because you can see when the Bucks debuted their characters, you can see when they renamed the TK driver, the Meltzer driver, which directly pays off here. This was probably dreamt up late last year, if not before.
Yeah, I would certainly say when the Bucks made their return, it was like probably just before, it was easily before then. Yeah, to this point, yeah.
I think the Perry tearing up his contract, that's early January. And then even before then,
the Bucks came back this year, didn't they?
Yeah, February.
I thought it was late last year they came
and
back.
And the Okada talks, who, you know, I would assume were always being pitched for the Elite.
Absolutely.
Those will go back to December, probably.
Yeah, so it is easy. I didn't mean to disagree with you. I thought late last year was when the Bucks came back.
No, that's a testament to how good their characters are.
Yeah.
Because it just feels like they've been around forever in a good way.
I think they were on the show. I think they might have been the ROH six-man tag champions with Hangman Page.
Those belts don't exist for at least another 3 weeks. So Jack Perry's saying, let's make up. You know, I've spent my time away. I want to make AEW great again. And Tony Khan doesn't say a single thing. He's just cut in a cutscene, caught in a cutscene animation.
He was Thunderdome participant. he may as well have held up a cuddly Pikachu.
Yeah, as if the Daily's Place setting wasn't enough of a pandemic recall. We had the Thunderdome Tony Khan.
And anytime Jack Perry said something nice, Tony Khan would just go like, and he would clap along and pull a face and be like, I think he's right.
I must say, until the angle happened, I thought he came off like an utter goofus in a bad way.
I think Tony Khan is adorable.
I don't have that same thing.
Because when I think of Tony Khan, and people love to make fun of the wide-eyed promos to camera where we're going to level things up in Winnipeg and stuff. I love how adorable that Tony Khan is. And so him just being there, being like, yeah. And, you know, he's being like, it was a little thumbs up thing. He comes across a little bit like Will from The Inbetweeners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad you find him adorable. I don't find him adorable.
Adorkable, maybe.
I don't even find him adorkable. And I've always got in my head, Dixie Carter.
I did see in your review today, someone was like, he went full Dixie Carter today.
Yeah. It's like, I'm so concerned based on all the great heel authority figures who legitimately had positions of power within the company that Tony Khan might suddenly go, maybe I should become an on-screen character just like Dixie Carter did. And that was the death of that company.
That company's still around.
That was the death of that version of the company. Oh my God. So that's happening and it is what it is. And then they hug. They make up together and Jack Perry again smiles at the camera.
I want to talk about TNA. This was big Bully Ray hugs Brooke Hogan levels of down the barrel, mugging to the hard camera to be like, you all know what's coming next.
And we did. But I didn't quite guess how Tony Khan would bump for it.
So here is my guess as to what happened. Because Jack Perry with the microphone, hits Tony Khan in the stomach. And Tony Khan falls to the ground, holding his face, and then holds his stomach. My headcanon of that is that what this reaction first when he grabbed his head was betrayal. Mm. And then the pain set in, which is why he grabbed his stomach. My bigger brain theory is what they'd agreed upon was that he would hit him in the head with the microphone. So he instinctively was like, well, the spot is he's going to hit me in the head. I better grab my head. Then when he hit the deck, was like, oh no, he did it differently. Grab my stomach.
See, my bigger brain theory is that Perry would not have changed that crucial spot in the moment. That was always the agreed placement. Tony got too excited. And he's played through his entire life. How am I going to take my big wrestling bump? it'd be so dramatic with the hands. But the spot doesn't call for it. It should be in the abdomen area. Yeah. And he got excited. He reacted on his face, even though that's not where it's meant to be. I would probably do the same thing.
I mean, it seems like a fairly plausible theory that Tony Khan got a bit too excited. But I don't know. I think mine's got a little bit of legs to it.
So the Elite, the rest of the Elite then come down. Like, oh no, what have you done?
We've made an error.
And the Bucks help Tony Khan to his knees. Oh, it's in dangerous EVP trigger and territory.
The crowd recognize that, so they start to react to it. And it's a Carter that says, like, whoa, what are you guys doing? This is not what we're going to do. I thought then it's like, it's going to hit him with a Rainmaker. Mm-hmm. Just what I wish he had done.
A Carter is doing some next level background heel work.
Yeah.
Because he's like, he's doing this... like, no guys. And then the Bucks say, you're right. Uh-oh, pick him up for the TK driver, formerly the Meltzer driver. Nicholas goes up to the top rope. And Okada goes from, like, to this.
He just does the point.
And he points up at Nicholas. And he just stands there, Buster Keaton-style stoic face. Oh, it's a joy to watch. They hit the TK driver on Tony. And you know that... the bump from Perry was what it was. This was a genuinely shocking, awesome moment. The Elite start saying, we're going to do like what we always plan to do. I would have preferred legitimate stars coming down.
This is my one thing I would say about this angle. What has been Will Ospreay's constant thing that he has said since he signed with AEW?
Where's Adam Copeland?
Bruv, he changed my life. Bruv, this man has changed my life. He's saved my life. He has given my family everything. Like, I can be where I've now got my dream job, and this man has made it possible. And Will had come down. Mm. I mean, it was great. There was, you know, the Dark Order made onto TV. Lovely little Jacksonville thing. But the Dark Order are there, and it's Dante Martin, and it's all like... lower level guys. Like, where was your world champion coming down here to protect this? Now, that might have come across as slightly sycophantic because he is the boss and it's like, oh no, we've got to protect our billionaire boss because he pays our wages. But I think if you had Will come down here, this angle would have had a lot more like impact to it, that rather than just, you know, no disrespect, Evil Uno.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, you're totally right. I've been punishing myself and watching a lot of WCW from the 90s recently. But one of the great things they did were those early Outsiders invasions. And the one where they lawn dart Rey Mysterio into the side of the cabin. I've seen that loads of times. What I've never really appreciated is how long that segment goes on for afterwards.
It's a long time.
It feels like war reporting footage because the entire roster, Randy Savage, Lex Luger, Sting without his face paint on, they are all there being like, are you okay? Cuts to another one. Utter chaos. and you've got like the roster. You've got baby faces yelling out to like Eddie. Is Ray okay? Mm-hmm. And Eddie's like, I don't know, man. It's like, it's so good.
Imagine if Mox was down there.
Yes.
Like, yeah. I think this did need some of that babyface locker room there over. Like, and again, no disrespect to the ones who were out there, because I thought they did a very good job in all of this. But I just don't think the Captain Sean Dean has got quite the impact that John Moxley would have had.
But maybe it's because you didn't want to bury the top star.
Shad Khan then gets in the ring.
That's a mustache break. Jesus.
It was kind of like, I think that was the thing that sold this the most.
It was.
And good acting by Tony's dad. Got in the ring to be like, what has happened here?
I was writing in my notes, it's a shame they're not treating this more seriously from a kayfabe roster perspective. But then the last 20 seconds you see Shad Khan, I was like, is that Tony's dad? And I forgot about all that criticism. And I was like, yes! Push him to the moon!
And Fightful Selector reporting that Tony backstage was selling the neck injury.
Great.
And throughout like the rest of the show, because they were doing Collision stuff as well and Rampage stuff, sold the neck injury. A lot of the wrestlers come to Fightful Select are wondering, and I think he will, if he's going to have a neck brace on during the NFL draft stuff this weekend, which starts today, I think.
Yeah, which because, of course, their family own the Jacksonville Jaguars. That is, like, this isn't serious, emotional, bloodline-level storytelling.
No.
And that's okay.
Wrestling is inherently goofy. And this was one of those inherently goofy wrestling angles.
And the idea of the visual of Tony Khan and his angry dad sitting through the NFL draft over the next 4 days with him selling a kayfabe neck injury. That's the sort of mainstream publicity I want for us.
I've got no interest in Cody Rhodes being on Sunday brunch, because anyone could be on Sunday brunch on Channel 4.
Tony Khan should be on Sunday brunch selling the neck injury. He needs to never take this off.
Yeah.
He needs to have a neck brace on for the rest of his life.
I don't think we need to go that far.
No. You got to commit.
We got the Roddy Strong neck strong gimmick.
I think eventually it'll turn him heel.
And that's when he takes on a reveal like, it never hurt in the first place. It was the plan all along. Also, shout out to Matthew Jackson, who did the most protecting I've ever seen a wrestler do to another person. Yeah.
Well, if anyone's going to hit a move on you, I'd want it to be the Bucks.
Yeah. That's why Sting picked him as his final match.
So overall, I think this is really exciting. Oh, did you see Nick? My last note is Nick Jackson's pants split. Yes, of course they did. This is what I want from wrestling. WWE are doing all this long-term booking, boring. I'm in a faction. I'm going to have like a grievance and it's going to come out over time in long-term stories. No, I want craziness.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the guy who used to do the occasional wacky segment, he's gone. And I'm happy about that. But I do miss the wacky segments. Every now and then,
you want
I need
wacky.
An egg.
And this is your egg.
It's not, that's unfair, because I do think, and this is what we'll come on to now, this sets the stage for a very, very exciting
it does.
Next arc of AEW TV.
Yeah, it not a good show for the AEW has no stories crowd, because this is like the next chapter of what has already been a fairly long-running story within the company.
We've got Kenny Omega making his return to Winnipeg next week. That was announced previously in the show. We've already had this Okada dig from the Elite at Omega, because Okada replaced Omega because Kenny wasn't showing up for work despite being deathly ill at points.
Yeah.
And I think we might get the Elite, this new corporate heel authority figures, which I'm okay with. Like, we've had heel authority figures so much in wrestling. And there was a long period in the 2010s when I think a lot of people were just over it. In fact, let's not have authority figures anymore.
We were done with them.
But we have had 5 years of AEW no authority figure this the matches just get made. It's Tony Khan.
Yeah, Tony Khan.
It's old Jack Tunney style.
Yeah, Tony Khan will announce matches, but he's not an on-screen character. He is referenced within the world. In the kayfabe world of AEW, Tony Khan is the man who makes the matches.
But now he's kayfabe written off TV.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the kayfabe mechanism for corporate heel authority figures. In the Bucks, probably just the Bucks, not Okada. But he's just part of their gang. They will play favorites with him and Jack Perry, something fierce.
Of course, yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, will the heels start to align with them? I'm really excited for the possibilities this opens up. I've never, because AEW has never had this side to them before.
Mm-hmm. I said this to you earlier. My big brain idea for next week's episode, when Kenny comes back, if it can happen, announce Kenny versus Okada for All In.
Yeah.
And that's Kenny's return match. If all the pieces can fall into place and Kenny is fit and healthy, that for me is a really good first step of just like, we've brought Kenny back for this episode because we're in Winnipeg, where we're going to level up for Shazam Fury of the Gods. But we're also going to announce his return match. And it is going to be at All In. It's going to be at Wembley Stadium. As a way to, like, you know, start to shift. I mean, the tickets are selling well, but you can start to really shift on those tickets if you announce Okada Omega 5.
I think, save that off. Just realistically, I don't think they'll be able to say that.
Mine's all on hope.
Definitely beat the ever-loving piss out of him.
If he can
take some protected style bumps.
Yeah.
Like, not fit enough to wrestle a whole match, but just take a beat down.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, maybe bleed as well, like really get over the seriousness of the angle.
Yeah, that'd be really good.
Like, what a hot follow-up to, you've just taken out the boss of the company in this week, following week, your former best mate.
And EVP.
And EVP, I didn't even think of that. And they can just be like, yeah, we've killed off everyone else. We chased the other guy, don't say his name, out of the company. We got rid of Kenny. Where does Hangman fit in all of this? He was a heel.
Mm-hmm.
Does he side with the Elite, and then like the Elite start booking Hangman against Swerve because they don't want Swerve as the babyface champion?
Because if Hangman goes to the Bucks and be like, we got to have a different champion, and they could be like, great, we can, next week they have said we're going to find out who Swerve's challenger is for Double or Nothing.
I'm very, very excited.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Should we see what
I'm curious to know what the reaction to this episode is going to be like. You and I were sort of mentioning this beforehand about what the react, because it is an angle that could very much split an audience. There'll be those who will be like, yeah, this is really fun, it's a bit silly, and also it creates some potentially really good things. But there might be those who'll be like, uh-oh, Dixie Carter on our hands over here. We've got it back to me. He's an on-screen character. He couldn't just stay behind the curtain. He couldn't just be Oz for the rest of time. So I'm curious to see what our reaction is today.
Uncle Vince says, time to admit that the all-in footage gamble actually worked. A high-risk maneuver, certainly, but it A, popped the demo, B, got people talking, and C, made Punk look psychotic, and D, laid strong groundwork for this Perry return and last night's red-hot angle.
I agree with some of that. Mm. The only reason I would say that it certainly got people talking. It's one of our highest rated reviews that we've had for Dynamite in recent times.
Not in a good way.
Well, yeah, I've been potentially not in a good way. But my point I was going to make there was a lot of these people didn't come back the following week. And the rating, you know, was down last week after it. And really, it didn't pop hugely from the week previous to that either. Mm. So I agree with what you're saying in principle, but I don't think a lot of it... I don't agree with some of it.
I think definitely in getting over Perry.
Part D, I think, is your strongest argument there, because it did lay like really good groundwork for the Perry return.
But I still wouldn't have done it. Matt Hennessy, well, it's official. The Elite are the biggest baby faces in my book. Tony made us sit through the Jericho mid-card vortex of evil for the last 2 years that would make anyone snap. All jokes aside, I don't know if I like or dislike the angle. It could be great, and we haven't had a great long-term storyline since Paige and the Elite. AEW have told some good stories since then, but it hasn't reached those heights. This could reach those heights if it's Team Elite versus Team AEW. This could go on for a year. Have the new Elite win all the gold. Perry is TNT champion. Ooh.
That's nice.
And sides with Christian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. Yeah.
As world champion, finally beating Swerve.
Hangman as world champion.
Hangman world champion, finally beating Swerve. Then a year from now, Team AEW of Omega, Swerve, Ospreay, and FTR versus the new Elite for control of AEW winner-take-all blood and guts. I mean, that sounds pretty awesome.
Yep.
Only negative is Tony Khan being an on-screen character. He's not charismatic enough to pull it off, but AEW has my attention.
Well, that's the other thing as well. We don't know if he's going to be an on-screen character. This might have just been done as a one-off angle to add heat to the Elite.
That's what I think it is.
Me too. Could be proven wrong, but my gut tells me at the moment this is just a one-off thing.
Back to what Matt Hennessy said a bit earlier, I was saying to Luke, I haven't felt this way about AEW since Winter Is Coming 2020, where at the end of that Jacksonville Daily's Place episode, Kenny Omega's like, I'm going to TNA.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Yeah, you'll get your answers on Impact.
It's a promotion level... What's going to happen next? And this now is, it's a what is going to happen with this kayfabe promotion? Really exciting for me. Patrick Eddy, the main event angle is what I imagine happens in GM mode when someone texts you and asks for the partnership, but you say no. Also, Roddy will show Will what happens when you don't take someone's neck health seriously. Hashtag neck strong. Hashtag please don't bury Shibata Jericho. Sammy Boy, perfect on paper, but in execution was just meh. Have Buck's EVP trigger Tony, then set up for the Tony Khan, the TK driver, and have a face, Ospreay make the save. Now we just have, no offense, a bunch of nobodies coming way too late to check up. Perry should have done more than a punch.
I take your point. I was going to say, I think you needed some big baby faces out there to really sell this angle, but I think I don't think you needed all the extra bits and bobs on top of that. I think you just needed the baby faces out there.
You had Shad, Sammy. You had Shad. Kuzu, TK took his first bump. I'm so proud. It's a rite of passage for a wrestling book of the bump. I found it interesting how WWE and AEW treated their recent babyface title wins. Cody did a victory lap and put over the moment, while Swerve just wrestled a match.
It's a fighting champion.
I'll say more about that later. I totally agree with you. I really didn't like that. Pavi Pants, wait, doesn't this mean that CM Punk was right? And Jack and the Elite are dangerous? Khan, you messed up, lol.
I will say, I think the strongest thing I could possibly say about this is, ain't no one talking about CM Punk. Like, in all the discussions that we've had here, no one's talking about the Helwani interview. They're not talking about the All In debacle or Brawl Out or anything like that. Even, like, the Cry Me a River chant isn't a chant against Punk. It's a chant for Perry.
Yeah. CK, hello. I really enjoyed the closing angle. Ollie described it perfectly in the review. Great and goofy. One thing that is probably obvious but made me say nice was realizing that Perry didn't have a music intro as he isn't signed.
Yeah.
Just lovely. Take care.
Oh, that's a good point.
Jimmy G Memberg for 31 months. Hello, lads. Enjoyed the show. I love Perry's evil grin. I'm intrigued to where this will go. Also, Ospreay versus Strong will be a banger. Yeah, it will.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got some
thoughts.
I'll just briefly now. I think it's sort of a bit of a double-ended dildo in a little way because, like, great match. What more for him?
A double-ended dildo's surely dependent on your preference. Either two good things or two bad things, as opposed one good thing and one bad thing.
Yeah.
You've used this expression already today, and
yeah.
I didn't quite know what you meant by it.
No.
You mean a double-edged sword?
Well, it is. I was trying to think of a different way of saying a double-edged sword. But, yeah, I suppose you're right. Yeah, I didn't really think. I mean, maybe it's. I mean, I don't know. I haven't had a double-ended sword in a while. Maybe one of them's got like a cat and nine tails on the end.
I don't think it's something you just enjoy by yourself.
No?
I think you need a friend. I'm Just Marcus says, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm willing to let this play out. The segments were great, but I never wanted Tony as an on-screen character because on-screen authority figures long-term usually don't work. I'm worried we might have a Dixie situation.
I'm in the let's play. If it is, I will happily eat crow and have some humble pie. I don't think Tony's becoming an on-screen character.
I would heavily bet on Luke's side, yeah. Justin, I wish they had Swerve come out to stop the attack when they set up for the V-trigger. Could have had a champ celebration segment where he thanked Tony, then comes out at the end to make the save. Feels instead like Swerve's reign already isn't the top thing. Yeah, we'll come on to that later.
Well, yeah.
TWJP, Ollie, do you think if the WrestleTalk team decides to go rogue, this is how they will turn on you? They're not flippy enough.
No.
Blimey, Pete's parkour could, though, couldn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think I could. If I'm the Matthew of this, I don't think I could lift you up. You'd have to get Laurie to do it. I'm the Okada in this situation. I'm just pointing at people. I'm going, like, guys, what are you doing? Point.
What an exciting storyline. I feel like this makes the All In footage make a bit more sense. Elite have slowly been taken over, and now it's hostile.
It's almost like people are starting to come around to my way of thinking on that CM Punk episode that I did.
I hope they do a pay-per-view called Hostile Takeover. And finally for now, let me just check if it is fine. Yeah, it is. Maurice Half says, I love the angle from start to finish, especially when Nick said, what are you doing? He's a billionaire. Ollie, please stop criticizing AEW because they don't do what you think they should do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my job. I'm sorry, Maurice. It's what I'm meant to do. When I don't think they've done something right, people want me to say it.
Yeah.
And I like this episode.
Yeah. I mean, you certainly liked it more than the All In footage episode.
Oh, yes. Right. Before we get on with the play-by-play review, here's a message from our sponsor today, Wrestling Masterclass.
Ever dreamt of breaking into the professional wrestling business as a wrestler, promoter, booker, commentator, referee, journalist, podcaster, YouTube star, or another key role? Wrestling Masterclass is a historic online course featuring over 70 HD video lessons, podcasts, and seminars with some of the world's top wrestling experts, both in the ring and behind the scenes, including Will Ospreay, Raven, Dutch Mantel, Doug Williams, Mike Chioda, and so many more. Start your journey today at WrestlingMasterclass.com.
You saw him right. That is Will Ospreay on that. It's a two-hour training seminar footage of him, which is an exclusive bonus sign-up. If you join up right now, start your journey into entering the wrestling industry from everything from becoming a wrestler, a booker, a promoter, a referee, a commentator, all the way through to these jabronis. wrestling media superstars.
Yeah, it's an incredible course. That Will Ospreay thing, by the way, is fantastic. It's so interesting. He gets people to like pair off and come up with some sequences, and then they do those sequences while Will watch them, and then he's just like, all right, well, here's what I would do. Have you thought about doing this and stuff? It's amazing to see how his mind works.
He's a genuine genius.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, WrestlingMasterclass.com. This episode of AEW opened with the cold open on the Okada, Bucks and Jack Perry arriving. And then, in Daly's place, Trent, he's already beaten up Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
And this is to force Chucky T to make a choice. Does he stand with who used to be their mascot? Or is he with Trent to be a best friend still?
Yeah, he's there going, like, this guy was supposed to be our lackey. Do you remember we brought him in to be our lackey and then he kind of overshadowed us? Kind of like, it's... kind of goes back to what Meltzer said when Orange Cassidy first came in. Like, Meltzer was dead against AEW bringing in Orange Cassidy because he's like, I don't think that's going to work on like what AEW's presentation is supposed to be. And he said, hey, hold his hand because I was proven wrong. But I like that they reference that here. It's like, he's supposed to be a mascot for us. How did he become a bigger star than us? He just stole all of our limelight from us.
It's a good heel motivation from Trent. Course, you know, he should be blaming himself for not succeeding in the way he wanted to. But Chucky T, who has wanted to say the S word on TV for about 5 years, finally got to answer Trent and say, I always thought you're a piece of S word. Clocked him. Trent runs away. They will have a parking lot fight, just like that pandemic one we talked about earlier, 5 stars with the old LAX. That will happen on Rampage. When I saw that, I was like, oh, right, okay, it's that kind of feud. But actually, this week's Rampage is again the end of Collision.
Yeah.
So it's really like a 3-hour show with this on.
Exactly, yeah.
Mox cut a backstage promo for the Hobbs match. He doesn't play golf. He wrestles in hell.
Cool. Yeah, you're golfing now. How was your swing last night?
I hit the ball off the grass, which is a... infuriating thing to do. then up next was the only thing I genuinely took against in this episode. Swerve Strickland closed the Dynasty pay-per-view on Sunday, holding the AEW World title aloft. And, you know, we said in our review, wasn't like the killer match that I thought and kind of the build led me to expect.
Yep.
But definitely so up for Swerve as champion, just so happy for him. He's more than earned it. I can't wait to see his reign start. And day one of his reign is a match against Carl Fletcher. No promo. It was mostly focused around Carl Fletcher and the Don Callis family with Don on commentary, I'd say. Rather than putting over Swerve's feelings on becoming the champion, or what's next for Swerve.
I agree. Here's why I don't think I took against this as much. Because when I was watching this episode, I was writing my notes and I was like, okay, the Elite arrive. That's your cold open. Then Orange Cassidy out for a promo and they have the best friends stuff there. Then you had a John Moxley promo. Then when Swerve made his entrance, I was like, oh my God, is this a fourth promo segment? I was like, come on, like, where's the wrestling at? And then it was a match. I was like, great, wrestling. I'm very happy with that. I now, upon reflection, can see, oh yeah, I think we needed to make a much bigger deal out of this. I think I was just happy to see some wrestling on the show. Mm.
But yeah, quite disappointed that they didn't have anything for Swerve here.
Just announcing that they're going to announce next week who his challenger is. I think there could have been something bigger than that. Considering that we had then like a very big Royal Rumble wacky match later to crown a new contender for Roddy's title.
I know they don't have to do everything that we say, but on our Dynasty review, we were like, oh yeah, Hangman Page is showing up on Wednesday for sure. I'm so excited. And what do we get? We get a pretty decent match.
Pretty good match. Yeah, and I enjoyed
that's
it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Carl Fletcher, love Carl Fletcher, hasn't been presented in a way where it's like, oh my God, we're getting this level match instead of any... Like, what a fighting champion. And yeah, I just thought this was a mistake. The main storyline point, because really Swerve had no storyline here, no continuation of, or not even continuation, set up for what's next for him. It was all based around Kyle. Don Callis was saying that he's going to expand his faction.
Yeah.
Quite interesting. And Fletcher occasionally didn't take Callis's advice.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of Don Callis on this show. A lot of Don Callis family representation on this show. But I do agree that I think that Swerve needed something bigger out of this. I think we might have said this on the Dynasty review as well. You want a hot feud for your first title reign. Because what you don't want is... the classic example you could always give is Daniel Bryan wins the WWE Championship, goes into a feud with Kane. Mm-hmm. And everyone's like, well, that's kind of lame. And actually, I think you can make the same argument with Cody. It's like, we've gone into a feud with AJ Styles, the guy that lost at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's not exactly the hot first feud you need to come into. So I think Swerve needs a hot feud to really cement him as the world champion. And actually to make sure that the world championship feels like it is the main event of the show.
Yeah, you're right. The actual world title, if you just move Swerve to one side, this felt like it could have been the international title.
That's it.
The continental title.
That's what that Ultra Chat was saying as well. It was just like, it doesn't feel like he's the main event of the show, which is the world title should be.
Thunder Rosa was with Renee backstage. Deonna Purrazzo got in her face for a brawl. They'll have a match on Rampage. Mina Shirakawa then took on Anna Jay, following up from an angle a couple of weeks ago. And I thought Mina was really good in this match.
Yeah, this
I
was liked her. Much like the Izumi match on Collision a couple of weeks back, this was like a good showcase match for Mina Shirakawa, if anyone's not familiar with her work, which, you know, hands on, you know, cards on the table, I'm not hugely familiar with. But I was saying on that Collision episode I did with Tempo that one of the things about if you're one of those people who is online and you're part of like social media and stuff is you hear these names through osmosis, because a lot of wrestling, you know, pundits talk about these names. So being able to see them on TV on this like this, I think, is a really good showing. And just putting them out there in a match, I think, is the best way to showcase them.
I definitely felt like Mina was the babyface here. Not just from she's got so much charisma, but just the way the match was worked. Anna Jay was like the heel.
She very much was the babyface.
Which is weird, because Mariah May has definitely been presented as a heel most of the time.
Well, that's where the love triangle thing comes in.
So Mariah May, Mina wins, Anna Jay beats them both up afterwards, and then Toni Storm runs down for the save, and sort of cradles Mariah.
Because Mariah is stuck in the middle of her two love interests. Mm. You know, there were some people who thought that the Mina, Shirakawa, and Mariah May angle was done for titillation purposes. What is this, the Attitude Era? No, it's a love triangle, and Mariah May is stuck in the middle of it.
I mean, it's not really doing anything for me. I didn't get the kiss. I still couldn't tell you, are they actually like romantically, or is this just friendship?
I believe it is a romantic thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So
in the same way that her and Toni is a romantic thing.
But I don't feel like that's ever been clearly said.
It's been heavily implied.
I think there needs to be a lot of work done to explain. What this is meant to be.
So what you're after them is you to tell you that that's what it is, as opposed to show you that it's been that.
No, show me.
They have been showing you.
It was on Collision.
They were showing this on Collision.
Well, out came Serena Deeb next. Wearing, I don't know what she was wearing.
Oh, like I
weird white cape lace thing.
I was excited to see Serena Deeb come out, and you know, she came to let her know that that's probably going to be the next title program, which is something new, something a bit fresh.
Another filler opponent for Toni.
Does feel like it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but hopefully Deeb sticks around this time. I feel like she's set up and it's teased that she's coming back.
Yeah.
Don't hear from her for 6 weeks.
Well, she was on Collision a couple of times.
The last time she was on anything was like mid-March.
Yeah, which was, you know, a month ago.
Yeah. But they did like...
On Collision.
But they did like packages announcing her return and then...
And then she came back on Collision.
And then she hasn't been here.
I don't know what you're after, Ollie. You were just like, they did video package of return and, well, then she returned. Like,
And then disappeared for a month.
What else are you supposed to do?
Willow Nightingale got a... not the sort of segment that Swerve should have got. I don't think Swerve should...
Balloons hour.
Yeah. You know what? Prince Nana should have arranged that kind of celebration for him.
Yeah.
Caprice Coleman sort of rapping over her entrance. Stokely and Chris were in the ring, and this was nice. They were
Yeah.
Celebrating a TBS title win.
I thought Chris doing her best Caprice Coleman impression to do like a little rap, but was a bit flat with it. But they had Caprice Coleman on commentary to sort of do it properly to Willow's music. I thought it was a nice little touch. And Willow, I thought, got a really good promo to kind of talk about her journey. I was an extra in 2020 when we were here during the pandemic. I was then back here in 2022 as a rookie. And now, 2 years on from that, I stand here as the face of TBS, which I thought it's really good. And then Mercedes Moné came out to steal her spotlight once again. Mm-hmm. And this was like, if there was ever any doubt, well, I wonder if Mercedes is turning heel. She for sure now. It's like, this was a full-on heel performance by Mercedes.
Yeah. A lot of people were wearing white in this segment. But even before Mercedes came out, like Willow's wearing white. Chris is kind of wearing very white clothes. I'm just like, who's bleeding? I really worked myself up and that they're going to turn on Willow. And she's going to smear the blood all over her top. But no, didn't happen. Instead, Chris sort of went to pull Moné back. Mercedes thought that was Willow who did that. So she slapped Willow across the face.
Mm-hmm. Thought it was a decent little angle. But yeah, this storyline is not a long-term story. It's a story that's taking a long time to tell.
I don't think it was a decent angle, but I really like Willow.
I enjoyed the bit. I'd say it's a good angle. I thought the Chris grabbing Mercedes by the arm and her thinking that it was Willow, I thought was pretty good.
We've got the Elite backstage. That's when they walk past Marvez. Then we have...
It's a wacky little match, wasn't it?
And this is why this, like, Tony Khan's going to appear at the end of the episode. I was already getting a bit of TN. I was already writing Dixie Carter in my notes. And then this match happened. And I enjoyed the match, particularly when Ospreay came out.
Yeah.
But I had no idea what was happening.
This needed a graphic on screen with the commentary saying, it's really quite simple. It really needed that because the commentary explained that it is a gauntlet match where wrestlers will just keep coming out until a winner is crowned. There's not a determined number of how many people it is or when they're going to come out. Wrestlers will just keep making entrances into this match until someone wins via pinfall or submission.
I mean, we work out formats over the course of episodes, and we've seen AEW work out their casino battle royal format over the course of years. Each year it's gotten better.
And then didn't do one last year.
Oh, yeah, we did it. Okay, so let's go back to that.
We fixed that now. Need to think of a new thing.
I think this is very clear. All you need is a countdown timer for the next entrant.
Because one thing wrestling fans love to do is count.
And also just a graphic, like you said, or Justin Roberts running down the rules at the start.
I'm going to echo here what Kevin has just said. Where was Mike Tenay when you needed him? This needed a Mike Tenay. It's really quite simple.
But the basic idea was two people start in the ring. It can now end at any time.
It's a gauntlet match.
It's sudden death pinning, but each or submission, but at random intervals, another wrestler will join the match.
Yeah.
So, but they did bits to explain that, but not enough because so many people were confused. So it starts off with Jay White and Dante Martin. And then Pentagon comes out. I'm like, okay. And White throws Martin over the top rope.
Did you think it was an elimination?
And I was like, well, they didn't say top rope eliminations, but the way he's kept, did I hear it wrong? There's a lot of confusion early.
Well, I originally wrote this down as Casino Battle Royale. And then when they said, oh, it's the first person to score a pinfall, I was like, oh, so it's not a battle royal then.
So we got Penta comes out. It's this crazy good leaping off of Jay White's back, Canadian Destroyer, into the ring on Martin. O'Reilly comes in, who, of course, lost clean on Sunday, because this was also to crown the number one contender for Roderick Strong's international championship, a Double or Nothing.
That is correct.
But then Will Ospreay comes in at number five.
This crowd went ballistic when Will Ospreay came out, because I think that this crowd had set their expectation for the level of star that's in this match. Oh, it'll probably be Action Andretti next. Mm-hmm. Oh, it'll probably be... who else could be in that lower level? I hate to keep bragging on him. Evil Uno. Like, it could be that sort of level of guy. So when Elevated hit and Will Ospreay came out, this is the first one. Oh, wow! Will's in this match!
But you know what? Now I'm looking through it. I thought, and after that, it was banger after banger after banger. No, they're the same level of people that you just spoke about.
Yeah, Commander was the last person.
Lance Archer, Commander, Jay Lethal was actually the last
person.
Oh,
yeah, Jay Lethal, you're right, yeah.
But as soon as Will Ospreay got in there, it felt like everyone else leveled up, and they were these much bigger stars.
Everyone was elevated.
Exactly. He's just insanely good. I never actually realized that until you've just said it.
And I think the crowd's reaction to Will, obviously the crowd go bonkers for Will every time that he's come out. But I think like this, and then when it was him in the ring with Jay White, all of a sudden it felt like Jay was back up to being where we think Jay White should have been since he came in. And the crowd started chanting like, holy S, because it's Jay and Will. It's like, and you're talking about like New Japan connections. Lance Archer then came out and they were playing off the fact that him and Will had their wars over the North, for the United States Championship and stuff in New Japan. And Archer does the blackout to Will over the top rope to everyone on the floor. And I was like, this match is really picked up now.
And Kyle O'Reilly and Will Ospreay have this just insane sequence.
Yes.
And just in seconds, Kyle O'Reilly was this guy who lost clean on Sunday to... Oh, I want to see him pushed in every mid-card title again.
Yeah.
Just amazing work. He hits... And the sort of final moments when you've got 8 guys in there, I think, total. But in theory, more will keep coming out.
They did say on commentary, like, it's a crowded locker room back there who are waiting for their turn to go next. So this match will just keep going until we have a winner.
Yeah. Again, it's like you probably needed better people in there, especially because a lot of people aren't going to take the pin.
Mm-hmm.
You could put in way more star power in there.
To put over, it did make me think that Jay was going to win the match, though. And actually, it was once Will came into it, and I was like, I think Jay might get the win here.
Yeah, because Ospreay doesn't need to be pinned. He can be somewhat protected there. But Will picks up... it's O'Reilly. He's going to go for the Tiger Driver 91, the same move he hit on Danielson on Sunday, and he hesitates. And no, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Particularly a guy like O'Reilly, just come back from injury.
Yeah.
Was it a neck injury?
I don't know what it was. It might have been concussion related, but I mean, he was on the shelf for over 2 years.
Still, you don't want to hit this move on them in kayfabe. And that hesitation meant Commander almost got a near fall on O'Reilly. Will was like, no.
Yeah.
Clicks right back into kill mode, hidden blade on Commander to break up the pin and pins Commander. Just Will's ability to finish a match on the absolute high point of action.
Yep.
When so many matches peak and then boom, 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 then you get the finish.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how he does it. I'm in awe.
Yeah. I honestly, Will elevated this match a lot. And it was like him versus Jay just made Jay just feel so much better again. I mean, I'm going to repeat myself a little bit here, but to echo what you were saying, it made Kyle look awesome. Like, because the sequence between him, I was like, man, I want to see Will versus Kyle now in a singles match. I want to see Will versus Jay in a singles match. There was a lot of stuff in it. I'm actually going to see like Will versus Commander in a singles match, because I bet you that'd be dead good. So I thought overall, this was a success. But man, did they need a little bit more explanation at the top of this match as to what it is.
So after that match, Will celebrated in the ring. And that's my Undisputed Kingdom.
That's not you doing the thing from Frozen 2.
Oh, it does sound a bit like that. I also think it sounds a bit like Where Is My Mind?
Stop.
But then Undisputed Kingdom come out and they all stay around the ring. But Roddy gets into the ring with his hipster glasses and mustache.
Yeah.
And they have a face-off.
I'm going to talk about a group that felt elevated. Like, all of a sudden I was like, oh, the Kingdom feel cool because they're standing in the ring with Will Ospreay.
Yeah. And they had a bit of momentum coming out of the Dynasty pay-per-view, I'd say. I really hope this gets Undisputed Kingdom back on track. I mean, If I'm just going to predict, I'm not saying this is the way it goes. This feels like a feud where Will is screwed over in the first match and then he beats Adam Cole or a bigger... He never gets the international title, but he wins the overall war against maybe a Wardlow.
I'm so intrigued as to where we are going to go with this, because everyone's pegging Will as like, oh, he's the guy's going to win the world title.
Everyone's doing what? Excuse me?
Everyone's pegging Will to be the guy to win the world title. So you're absolutely right. Everyone's pegged Will to be the guy who's going to win the world title at Wembley. Mm. So putting him into an international title feud on pay-per-view, I'm suddenly looking at him like, I mean, is he going to win the belt? Are you going to pin Will Ospreay? I don't know which direction we're going to go, but I'm excited to find out.
Feels like filler. I just hope it will be enjoyable.
It feels like this will be the time when the family turn on Will, and perhaps it's the family turning on Will is what will give him the out of the loss.
Or, I mean, we say it about everything, blood and guts. After that, we got the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho. He comes out as a new FTW champion with not Judas.
Yeah, he's got new
Death
music.
Rebel music.
That does feel like an intentional thing. But it's music that no one can sing along to. So people are like, oh man, I wonder, like, is this a heel turn thing? He's taken White Zombie off my TV show. So 100% he's a heel in my books.
He's really playing up this faux babyface act, exactly what Luke has been saying. He's even going so far to say FTW now stands for the world.
For the world. And we all won this together. I won this for each and every one of you. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what we were talking about on the Dynasty review. It's like, this is, I think a lot of people were worked by that Dynasty match and now are seeing that, oh, right, this was all a purposeful character thing within the Dynasty match. And now I'm piecing two and two together. But I'll echo what I said on that Dynasty review. It's 6 weeks too late, and the crowd have decided that we're not booing you as a heel, we're booing you because we just want you to go away for a bit.
It's okay, though, because he's got a brand new idea.
Yeah. Again, this is we said this 6 weeks ago when he trademarked the Learning Tree. I was like, oh, that's the name of his new faction then, and it's going to be a group of young guys who want to appreciate a Society of Jericho.
You've been saying it, and I've just been really willing that it's not going to happen. And it's totally happening.
Yeah.
Big Bill comes out and says, that he looks like he's going to tell him to shut up, but then he goes, I need the Learning Tree.
I need the Learning Tree. And I can't wait for Sammy to be part of this act.
talk about caught in a vortex.
And like the whole thing is that the joke of it is that, because I know there are some people who get really angry about the Jericho vortex not putting everyone over, but that's part of Jericho's heel. That again is like being sort of worked by Jericho's promo here, but it's just come too late.
Yeah, and it is repetitive. Yeah. I know that you could meta that in and say, well, that's part of the heel. I'm over this already.
Well, of course, because it's a good idea on paper. Honestly, on paper, I think this Jericho character is a good idea, but we're past that point, and I don't think this character's ever going to work.
We're backstage with Don and Kyle and Renee, and Will's there as well, and Don isn't happy that Will didn't use the Tiger Driver.
That's what we said on the Dynasty reviews. Like, it's all part of the story that he hit this move, went straight into kill mode, and effectively killed Danielson, and then had the realization afterwards, like, uh-oh, I took things too far. People have been telling me for years I wrestle a dangerous style, and now I'm seeing the actions of that.
And then
the consequences.
What I found really interesting was Fletcher then said, hey, you won the match still?
Yeah.
And Don's like, you can't talk about winning matches, because Fletcher had lost against Swerve.
Yeah.
And I thought there was a lot of Don Callis family on this episode, but I think it did a really good job of getting over why these wrestlers tolerate being in these faction. Because Fletcher got a shot, a championship contender's shot at the world title. Hobbs got a shot at the IWGP heavyweight title. Ospreay was in this gauntlet match. Doesn't sound like it was too easy to get into. But if you are with Callis, he's playing some political game behind the scenes.
Yeah.
I mean, how does he plug in with the elite?
I don't know, because he said it was after the Fletcher Ospreay match. He said that Tony Khan has sort of given him a lot of power in booking matches because I'm bringing world-class talent to his show.
So I really like that. And Will and Fletcher, maybe they'll be a breakaway group together, which I really enjoy.
Bring back his group. Bring back the Empire.
Then we got Mox versus Hobbs. Great seeing Mox wrestle again in Daly's place, particularly.
Can I tell you my favorite thing from this match? It was just before the commercial break. And actually, it was either just before the commercial break or during the commercial break. Powerhouse Hobbs is getting the heat on John Moxley, and he's beating him up in the corner. And he yells out, "I'm going to whip this man's ass." And Tony Schiavone said, "You're currently whipping his ass."
I think this would have been a really good match with a couple of minutes more. But it looks like Hobbs injured his knee.
Yeah.
Gets back in the ring. And they very quickly go to the finish afterwards.
It did seem to be. It felt like Hobbs tried to power through it, realized that was not going to happen, called an audible, went to the finish.
Which was just a bulldog choke, and it just sort of happened.
And they did put over on commentary that Moxley beat Brody Lee in this building, in this arena, with that move for the first time it might have been a Double or Nothing, in 2020. So there was some sort of thematicness to it. Mm. But yeah, I agree. Like, I don't feel like this match ever really got into the gear it needed to. Even before the injury, it felt... There was a moment when I was watching it, I was like, am I in picture-in-picture? And I just haven't realized yet. And then it was like, stick with the action, we're going to picture-in-picture. I was like, oh no, it's just a bit slow.
And also the Dynamite usually goes 2 hours, 5 minutes with the overrun. And this one went 2 hours, 1 minute.
One, yeah.
Which makes me feel like there was at least 4 more minutes for this match.
I think so, yeah.
But Takeshita comes out afterwards, staring down Mox.
It looking sexy AF as well.
Yeah, full on anime villain style Takeshita. So that would be great.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
Absolutely.
Mm. And then backstage, Shibata challenged Jericho for the FTW title at next week in Winnipeg.
I mean, Shibata is playing a bit of a dangerous game with all the flirting he's doing with Renee.
I know.
Yeah, in his little Google Translate thing, he was like, the rhinestones on your dress make a heart. It's nice.
Yeah, and the rhinestones were on the chesticles.
They were.
Means he had to have looked at the chesticles.
Look, I'm not putting words in Shibata's Google Translate, but if I was Mox, I'd be keeping an eye on that guy.
Right. And then we got the Jack Perry promo, who I've called Jerry Perry in my notes.
Jerry Perry. I think he was in the game show era of NXT.
I gave it 84%. Not a top tier. There was things like that didn't particularly grab me on this show. There's a lot of things that were well-meaning, and I'm here for it, but I don't think they were particularly well-executed. But I'm really excited. I think it's a killer main event angle.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this episode, and it's mostly from that main event. I really got into the Gauntlet match afterwards, and I really enjoyed the Mina Shirakawa match. But I agree. I think it's like a strong 4 out of 5 episodes. That would have been a 3 out of 5 episode had it not been for that great main event angle.
The poll should be live now, so cast your votes. While we say a very big thank you to our wonderful pledge hammers on Patreon, the incredible Tarzo.
Keep rolling, rolling, rolling. Reg Patch.
Tony Jabroni.
Commentator of the Century, Vince Phillips.
Willie Biggie Singleton.
The Lumberjack, XX Logs XX.
The Soul Survivor, 1993.
King of the Conquest, Stephen Mullenix.
Ellie.
Is that how Ole goes?
Ole, Ole.
No. Ole, 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 Ole.
My brain broke.
You're doing feeling hot, hot, hot.
That's what I'm doing. That's better. How does Ole go again?
Ole, 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 Ole.
Ellie, 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 Ellie. Ellie, Mercake. My version's better.
And lastly, for this Hall of Fame class, on the 25th of April, 2024, the Map Man, Matthew Allen. But let's also give a shout out to our moderators, Andy,
Harry,
Ian,
James,
Jenny,
John,
Les,
Rob.
And because she'll never put her name down, our mod mother, Jenna.
Thank you, everybody. Let's give some cheap pops to the mods in the comments. Some cheap mods. Because they make the chat the lovely place.
Our moderators seem to think that it's either us or the chat needs to be going to Horny Jail.
Really? To Horny Jail?
Yeah.
But what did we horn over? Takeshita?
I mean, it was Takeshita, I suppose. Will being pegged to win the title at All In, of course.
That's a stipulation. And another person will enter at random intervals.
Until someone's pinned or submitted.
Typically, that would be when you get out of the ring. Please keep sending the Omega chats in. This is last call for them at wrestletalk.com/support. Maurice Harth again says, I love the angle from start to finish, especially when Nick said, what are you doing? Oh, I've already read that one.
Yeah.
It's not
Space Viking said, man, who the hell is Kyle Fletcher to kick out of two top guys' finishers? Surely competitive match is more effective than going down that route. Anyway, Okada is going to kill Omega next week, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, I think
definitely.
So, yeah. Matt here said, I think this was a 3 out of 5 show. Well, I like the main event angle. The women's storyline, best friends angle, and Ospreay going for the international title. He can do for that title what Gunther did for the IC title. I love Roddy, but the UK faction is AEW's version of the core. Buddy, I mean, that's strong.
Not yet.
No, absolutely not. Also, you spelled core wrong. It's got 2 R's. Show them some respect. What I didn't like, no promo time for Swerve. Good match, but your new world champion should cut a promo. Mox versus Hobbs was underwhelming, and just because Chris Jericho is self-aware that he sucks and is washed up, him playing up to that fact doesn't change anything. Dude needs to retire and go away. The guy literally, in the last 2 years, killed Starks, Kingston, and Cole's momentum, moved Jericho to our end. I mean, I don't think you can say that he killed Cole's momentum when he was then in the hottest angle with MJF. And Starks was AEW Tag Team Champions up until fairly recently and is only out at the moment because he's injured. And Kingston's momentum wasn't killed. Kingston actually got more momentum out of the Jericho feud. He's just lost his momentum since the Continental Classic.
I think Chris Jericho is self-aware that he sucks and is washed up, but him playing up to that fact doesn't change anything. I think that is a perfect
absolutely
summary of how I feel.
Absolutely. Westhead said, AEW might have improved on the Royal Rumble. There was such an urgency to this match with lower draw numbers being favored, higher numbers possibly not even getting to enter, which is story potential. Mm. Guys trying to win as fast as possible, big moves constantly, no endless punch kicks and rope clinging. A sense the match could end at any time. You add in top stars, a fan countdown, and this could be AEW's answer to the Royal Rumble for the number one contendership to the AEW title. I mean, actually, to your point, because they were putting on a commentary, like, you actually want to be in early.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that will deteriorate over time, because the longer you're in the match, the more tired you'll be, you do have the option to win it quicker.
You've laid out a really good argument.
Yeah. Andy Sandbox here said, I thought this was a great... We've got a lot here from Andy. He said, I think this was a great episode. Arguably their best pay-per-view Fallout episode ever. They really set up Jack Perry very well. Kenny Omega returns next week after this. It's also interesting and I'm excited to watch this play out. But I don't think I'm too concerned with the direction of the Elite storyline. Elite suspended him justifiably. It's a business, but the Bucks should absolutely next week push Hangman into a main event match at Double or Nothing. Imagine him stealing the title and Swerve goes and all in as the challenger. Book it, Tony. I mean, the Bucks. I want to focus on the Battle Royal Gauntlet and how genuinely awesome I thought it was and the implication behind it. Frankly, All In is exactly 4 months away and I want to be realistic for 2024. Will Ospreay will not be in the main event scene going into All In. If we really want Swerve to have a meaningful title run, it needs to be going in as champion and winning. I thought before the show yesterday, Will should challenge at Double or Nothing and lose. Build him up to a rebound win at All In. But now, I actually do see a path forward where Will Ospreay becomes international champion, Okada as continental champion, and we get unification match at All In for the consolidated intercontinental championship. Winning aside, Will Ospreay as AEW champion will be in the C2, and that's what I want for him this year. He will be a world champion, but he doesn't need to be. I care about the characters, not them being champions. Will is the new main character. We waited 2 years to get Hangman as champion. Cody lost his first opportunity. We do not want Will being unbeatable and cruise his way to the world championship. All the Tiger Driver segments on the show, great character building.
I think those are some really good points.
Yeah.
I love the idea of the Bucks booking Hangman there. And thank you very much for your generous chat.
Absolutely.
There, Andy. But I think Ospreay's so over and it's so unique that you should change your long-term plans if you have them to push him to the top of the main event scene.
Yeah, you almost want to, you always say you want to capitalize on heat. Mm. Unless that heat goes, you know, before that heat goes away. Dante here said, I really enjoyed last night's episode. I was glued to my TV all night. I enjoyed the multiple Don Callis family stories running through the show, and the casino gauntlet was very fun. I popped hard seeing Penta and Ospreay in the ring together. Michael Dominguez said, don't see main events in Swerve, but see his talent. Joe's reign was just Swerve match and one hook match as transitional champ. Joe could have done more. His match didn't even open the show, and his belt is mid-card to IWGP. He's Sami Zayn. Great skills, just not the main champion.
Did Joe also fight Wardlow?
He did.
Was that for the title?
It was, yes.
Yeah, mate.
Nick Smith said, I thought we might be getting a comedy spin on the Jericho faction thing where he goes around trying to recruit young guys to attach himself and get rejected, leaving him as a one-man faction. But no, they're just doing it again. Nick, that's such a better idea.
Brilliant idea.
That is a great idea.
Subvert what has been going on already.
Yeah. Oh, I'd absolutely love that. Golden Knights fan 84 said, hey, Luke and Ollie, I love AEW, but this is getting ridiculous. Tony Khan is such a mark, and Bischoff was right. He hasn't got a clue. It's WCW in everything but name. And what's worse, it's the NFL are in on the angle, reporting Khan's a question for the draft. Isn't that a bit of fun, though?
Yeah, that's I wouldn't say that's bad at all. That's things getting in on the goofy fun of it all. And look, like I said, I'm watching a bit of old WCW, and I'm rereading The Death of WCW. It is nowhere near as bad as the company that Eric Bischoff killed. Just remember that. Remember who you're taking these opinions from.
Yeah.
And he killed a wrestling company.
And tried to kill a second one.
Yeah.
And in fact, and actually quite successfully killed all the momentum that company did have.
From not learning from his mistakes.
Yeah. Which is funny as well, because the big criticism of TNA when it first started was it didn't learn from any of the mistakes WCW made. So Eric Bischoff came in and just made all the same mistakes that TNA's had already made. Chris Petru has been a member for 35 months in a row. Said, hi, WrestleTalk fam. Missed you guys so much. Loved last night's show. AEW was adventurous and it worked. Mm. Excitement was in the air. Love you guys. Jam that jam. We have an unknown super chat. That is their actual name. I like this episode of Dynamite for many reasons. Whether it was Mina's theme music, Will looking genuinely afraid when he saw Lance, the thought of Roddy doing his best Heath Ledger and Knight's Tale impression screaming, William! Or the Shad Khan cameo.
All about Shad.
Kieran Gibb said, good first. The Will Ospreay stuff is neat. I like them attempting cool stuff with the women's division. I really buy that Willow is selling. Now the bad. Swerve already feels glossed over. The Tony Khan angle feels very Herb Abrams, clunky and awkward.
Whoa. Herb Abrams being the very controversial promoter behind a 90s. There's a really good Dark Side of the Ring episode on it.
UWF?
Yeah, something like that.
Jason Xavier here said, I missed this episode of Dynamite, but I heard about the closing angle. I'm definitely intrigued. Check it out. It's really fun. Matt Castleberry, while I do believe more high-profile babyfaces should have come down, my assumption is they don't want guys like Mox, Ospreay, or Swerve to be caught up in the storyline yet.
But it just opens too many questions.
Mm-hmm. Anonymous said, it wasn't addressed on Dynamite, but do you think Black Misting Copeland will lead to anything? Brood Edge, reunite with Christian, give Gangrel a call, and Abaddon is right there. Brood versus House of Black. It won't happen, but in my mind, it looks glorious.
That is 100% going to happen. Copeland loves doing Brood things.
And him and Christian doing the Brood entrance with the fire surrounding them and Gangrel walking out. That is absolutely something that Tony Khan would book, because he was a fan of wrestling when that was very popular. Anonymous here said, it wasn't a... Oh, no, we just did that one. James Branch has been a 24-month member. 2 years. Says, hey, guys, good day. Wanted to point something out that I found funny. I know Ospreay retired the driver, but did he forget how to do Stormbreaker? It's the exact same setup.
I thought he was going for the Stormbreaker. It was only when he went, but wait.
But wait. Yeah. James here said, Hobbs TNT title run overshadowed by QT. Acclaim tag and trios run seem to take a back seat and only used on Rampage pre-shows. Jade TBS title run filled with lower mid-card matches, and now Swerve's not even the focus on his first defenses. See a trend? I mean, it's one show.
Yeah, that's not assume anything after one show. Because you've also got to see that all those people were champions as well.
Yes. Tyrong here said, I can't be the only one who thought MJF should return in the Battle Royal. Adam Cole can actually participate in a story now, and MJF could go after Roddy while leaving the world title scene to Swerve. Hopefully Ospreay elevate to the Undisputed Kingdom. I think MJF's still not cleared.
And also, like, in that Battle Royal, that'd be such a waste of his return.
Actually, MJF coming back to this angle, the Elite angle. That's where I'd put him back.
I think you want to wait a while, and the baby faces need one more AEW.
They need the old MJF. This is what I booked in the AEW versus Ring of Honor Invasion storyline of Fancy Booking Warfare last year, which Michael Oku voted to win. It's not my fault that Nina Samuels is an idiot and is wrong. There's bad opinions. Not to mention Dave Bradshaw, who just likes you. Chris here said, I think AEW should definitely try this gauntlet match again, as it's fun and has potential to be a future staple. It just needs some tuning. Overall, a great idea.
Agree.
Brett here says, what a great episode of Dynamite. Willow and crew went to Chuck E. Cheese to celebrate. It's one of the most wholesome things I've ever seen. I love the Learning Tree Jericho, and he even mentioned the Jericho Vortex. The Elite angle was so good. I am excited. Let's end the poll, see what you thought of this episode. It is overall thumbs up, and it is 76% thumbs up, with 17% thumbs in the middle. So that is about that 3 to 4 out of 5.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here today. Go check out thewrestlingmasterclass.com to start your journey into the professional wrestling industry. But for now, I've been Ollie Davis. It's been Luke Owen, DAD. Jam that jam.
Jam that jam. Jam that jam.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.